Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Know-How is brought to you by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/know-how.
Today, we're going to show you how to bring your favorite apps on a USB key.
Today, you'll know how to use portable apps. You got the best opening music on this show of any show on the TWiT Network.
I'm a lucky guy. Dan Luders awesome. is fantastically talented, and he gave us that song. So
he's a bassist, you know, for his church symphony. I don't know what it is.
That's him band. On the guitar and everything else.
He's a
fantastic.
Very talented guy. Hello, Iaz Akhtar. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you, Leo Laporte?
I am fine. Hello, everybody at home. This is the show where we show you how to do things. And today, by, I think, popular request...
Well, somewhat of a popular request.
Somebody asked us to do this.
Yes.
One person.
A friend of mine, she's like, I want to watch TWiT on my work computer,
right.
But I don't have admin access. So how do I actually do that? How do I take Chrome or something like that and bring it over to my computer and be able to use it and watch TWiT?
So that's what a portable app is. And there's a couple of reasons you might want to use a portable app. One is because you can't install apps on your work computer. Mm-hmm. The other is because you want to use various computers, but you want to keep your data, your personal data, secure. These portable apps allow you to store your personal stuff on the USB key along with the apps so that you never put, you know, a cache or any kind of information on the computer you're using. That's handy.
And there are a lot of other uses you could have with this. If you just want to make sure that whenever you go somewhere, there's even portable versions of XBMC. If you always want to bring your media center with you, you can do these kinds of projects. So we're going to show you a couple of different applications you can take with you, and we're going to show you how it runs on Windows, Mac OS X, and Linux.
Interesting. Let me ask you a couple of questions. First of all, is an app can any app do this, or does it have to be a special version of the app?
It's not every single app. These apps have to be specially compiled for the most part. Because the thing is, if you ever see an installer or a wizard installing things...
Spread stuff all over the hard drive.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, OS X was kind of different at some point where they had... The apps were bundles, right?
Right.
But some apps actually put things in libraries and extensions and all kinds of places where you don't notice it. Windows has things everywhere. Linux has things everywhere. So it's probably best... not to try to just drag and drop a file over. It's like, that's probably not going to work.
You want to use an app that's specifically built to be portable.
Yeah, you want to compile it.
Also an app that keeps its data with it, not putting it somewhere like the documents directory on the hard drive,
mm-hmm.
but keeps it on the USB key. All right, so we always do a materials list. I'm going to start the chalkboard. What do we need to do portable apps?
Well, you're going to need a computer. You're going to need a PC or a Mac.
Really?
Yeah, can you believe that?
Okay.
Last week we had no computer. This week we need a computer this
PC
time.
PC or Mac.
Yeah.
Or you said Linux, right?
Yeah, so you can run any operating system.
Now, you're going to have to make a portable app key that is specific to that OS. Is that right? Or can you make one that works with all three?
I've had success with using two. I haven't tried all three yet.
Okay. So and this is the computer that we're going to use to make... the USB key.
So we're going to need a USB key then, of course.
Because obviously once you got the USB key, then you'll need a computer to plug it into.
Mm-hmm.
That's somebody else's computer.
Obviously, this won't work if your workplace gums up the USB ports. Yeah, this is a little bit more difficult, right? But this is usually not the scenario. Hopefully, we can come up with some other workaround for that someday.
Okay.
So we need a USB key.
USB key. How big should our USB key be? Does it matter?
You know, I'd try to at least get like a gigabyte, maybe 2 gigabytes if you want to do things like, if you want to get something like the GIMP, or do you want to get something like VLC? Also, if you are bringing your media files with you, you might want to have extra space for that.
Depends on how much you're going to store on that USB key, how many apps and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, USB keys are cheap now. A gig is great. The truth is, I have 32 and 64 gigabyte USB keys, and they're at less than $100. So there's no does it need to be a special fast USB drive, or could it be any?
It could be any USB
okay.
key will work. But, I mean, the performance off a USB key is limited by the speed
right.
of the USB
right.
hub.
Right.
So there's also, you don't need an internet connection. Obviously, you can't do this offline.
Okay.
You need something
internet.
Like that.
All right. We always need internet.
And something that I need a lot of, you need time and patience for this project. When I start showing you the Windows version, you'll see why I say this, because took a while. It took a real long time.
It took a while to make it, or it took a while to use it? Is it slow to use?
It takes a while to create the key, and it it's a little slower to use it off a USB key than it would be if it was running locally.
You know what would be nice is if you're using a modern computer and it's a USB 3 computer, to get a drive that's designed for USB 3, and then it really is almost as fast as a hard drive.
It'd be pretty fast. So yeah. let's go to the Windows side.
Okay.
We're going to go to a place called PortableApps.com. Now, this site makes it incredibly easy to have applications that are portable. And so it'll work on a USB key, an iPod if you put it in disk mode, SD cards, even a Dropbox. Now, the reason why we're not doing your apps in the cloud in this scenario is because the theory is you don't have admin rights. If you can put Dropbox on your computer, odds are you can put any application you want.
Got it.
So we're going to just hit download free, really simple. And we've already gotten the actual software. So we go to my computer.
You so can it's just see, one file, one .exe file?
One .exe download. File. And if for some reason you don't even want to bother with that, you can pay $40 for a USB 3.0 key.
And they'll mail you one.
Yeah, they'll give it to you.
That's funny.
So I'm going to run.
That actually might not be a bad idea. That's probably only a small premium over the value of the key.
Going to load the PortableApps.com platform setup.
Again, this is Windows specific.
This is Windows specific, exactly. Going to hit next. I'm reading this, and I'm agreeing.
Okay. What are we installing? Are we installing the apps themselves, or is this some support software?
This is like a launcher piece of software that goes on the key, and from the key, you can go and get applications.
Got it.
So we're going to go to our...
Oh, that's interesting. So you'll make a separate step that you'll download the stuff you need for that.
So we're going to hit G. That's this USB key on the right side here. And actually, this USB key has a version of Linux on it as well. This is a bootable Linux key. So I can do all kinds of things with this right now.
Right. You need to use a file system that works on all three, which probably means FAT32.
FAT32 is safest.
The Windows file system. It'll work on Macs. It'll work on Linux machines.
So right now it's installing the apps.com platform. That's going to take a couple of seconds. This is probably the quickest part of the process.
Oh, I was going to say, is this time and patience? No.
No, this doesn't require
this time. This is the easy part.
What you're going to see is the amount of applications you could get. You can make a bunch of specialized keys. Because when I bring this up, we're going to launch the portable apps.com.
This would be a good thing if people are ready to go on vacation to do this now, so that when you go on vacation, you can hang this around your neck and you find a computer at the hotel in the Poconos, you plug it in, and now you can use all your apps.
The app catalog here is categorized. So you can see accessibility, development, education, games, whatever you want to bring with you.
Oh, my goodness. And these are all already usable as portable apps.
Right.
You don't have to do anything to
them. I'd like to get Chrome. You know, I want to get some. I like FileZilla. You know, maybe I want to chat. I'll get Pigeon, and I don't know what. Let's get Skype in there.
So it's nice, because if you install Pigeon on this key, you'll also set it up for your accounts. You never have to do that again. You just plug in the key, and it knows all your IM accounts.
It's persistent, exactly. So when you actually input all that data, you don't have to worry about that again.
That's actually really nice.
When you have your bookmarks or whatever, I mean, setting up, especially chat clients, I mean, those are a pain.
Can I do this with email? Can I put an email client on here?
I believe you could put Thunderbird on this if you
wanted
to.
That's great. So, and my email will be stored on the USB key. So let's say you're going on vacation. You want to be able to get your business mail, but of course your business doesn't want you to put business mail on the hotel's computer. You use this, plug it into their computer, run it. Everything stays on the USB key. Unplug it, and you're good to go.
Now, right now, it's downloading the applications. This is also very quick. It's the installation of the applications on the key that takes a very, very long time. Now, I thought my computer had seized up. That's how long it took. So when I was installing these same four applications on another key, which I'll show you in a second, it took about, I'd say, 10 to 15 minutes to just download and install four applications. So do not start unplugging things.
That's the time and patience.
Because you might go, is it stuck? Because what I check, I always put my cursor on a location near it. Like, it looks like it's stuck. So I'm like, I'll leave it there.
See if it moves.
If it moves past it, maybe. Oh, there it goes. Good. I'm really happy about that.
Yeah.
But now it's installing FileZilla, and this is where it took a while.
Dr. Mom says she has an interesting use. If you're an experienced computer user and you have friends or family who don't really know how to do it, she sets up Google Docs on these USB keys with the people's login. She sets up their account, gives them a USB key. It's got everything they need on there all ready to go. She doesn't have to train them in how to use Google Docs. It's on the USB key. That's a great solution.
You'll also get, because you're using Chrome or these other things, you'll get these user license agreements, so you have to keep showing up. I agree. And then Skype will come up after that, so you have to hit I agree. So you can't just, like, leave it there. You have to babysit your computer as it's installing.
But you're only going to do this once you're first setting up the key.
Or if you add other applications.
Another great use that we didn't mention, and I saw it on the list, is a password vault would be a great thing to put on here. KeePass is open source. LastPass was portable. So is 1Password. You can actually put it on the USB key. All your passwords will be on the USB key, encrypted. You don't have to remember them. You're carrying it with you. That is a very handy use.
And the other thing is, if you want to come up with like a troubleshooting key and you want like a media key, whatever keys, you can have them separate. Big deal. So I'm going to jump ahead because
we're not going to install all this. We don't have time.
It's installing. I already have a key that's all ready. Now, if your computer is really old, it might have auto run still on it. I mean, usually I turn that off immediately on Windows.
Wait a minute. That's a Windows setting?
A Windows setting. It's auto run.
You don't want that on?
Well, normally, but for safety reasons, you don't keep auto run on.
Yeah.
And Microsoft turned that off, I believe, starting
Windows. It's no longer on by default.
Right.
That was the old thing where you'd put a CD in or a DVD or a USB key, and if there were appropriate files on there, it would actually launch something from the key. That's dangerous because a hacker could have auto run hack tools on that key. All he has to do is plug it in, and if auto run's turned on, it'll run automatically. So you're saying it's turned off by default now.
But
we want to turn it on.
If you want to turn it on, you can. I'm just saying that the portable apps will install auto run on there. So when you plug the key in, you'll get a menu.
Got it. So they put an autorun.inf file on there that automatically tells the operating system if autorun is enabled, here's what you should run first, and it should be the menu.
It should be.
So that's what Portable Apps gives us, is this menu. Let's see.
So here's the menu right here, and here are the applications I have.
That's actually pretty good looking.
It reminds me a lot of the original start menu. You can see that. Here's Portable, Google Chrome Portable.
You're saying that when I plug in my USB key, that menu, if autorun is turned on, that menu will pop up
automatically
on any machine that I stick it into.
Otherwise,
that's great.
Otherwise, you'll have to go to Explorer, and you'll click whatever your drive is. And in this case, it was E.
So, and what is the name of the menu program that I'd double click there?
That's a good question. I don't know. Portable. Just call portableapps.com.
So you'll see it. It'll be pretty obvious.
When you go to E, it's going to say start. So you hit start. Really simple. So I've actually, you can tell right now this is not the standard version of Chrome already. Why is Bing set as the homepage? Because I wanted to make sure that the changes I made to Chrome were persistent. So even when I
customized it, and indeed, it stayed that way.
Yeah, there's Bing, there's Facebook. Now,
even have tabs set up so that they automatically open.
Yes, you could have that.
That's
but
great.
One of the things about Chrome, this portable version, it doesn't have Flash. My friend wanted to watch Twit. Can't watch it.
You know, it's funny because Chrome on the desktop comes with Flash. So
right.
The portable version doesn't.
It doesn't
does
have
that
it.
Mean I have to install Flash? How does that
there's,
work?
Yeah, so it's not. It's a little bit more complex than just hitting install, go to Flash, and try to put it on your system. Because what Flash
is not a portable app, in other
words. Flash will try to install itself on the OS level, and that changes a lot of things, and that might not necessarily work with your
got
key.
It.
So there's a workaround for this, and here's where it gets a little ugly.
We don't have to forego Flash, but you have to do some stuff.
No. All you got to do is the answers.
I never thought about that, but that makes sense. Any plugin you want to use has to be portable aware, or it's just not going to work, and Flash is not portable aware.
What you have to do is actually download a DLL. Now, we'll have a link.
You're making me queasy.
Yeah, well, you got to do what you got to do, right? So let me go to downloads. Okay. And now you also have to go into your key, which is under E. So I'm going to put these side by side.
And you've downloaded, what is it called?
It's called npswf32.dll.
Does this come from Adobe or is this somebody else's program?
This is theoretically from Adobe. Now, I did research this site that you're seeing right now if you're watching the video. It doesn't look like a super safe site, but I've researched that it's fine, so I'm going to double check.
Now, if you've installed Flash, you'll also have that particular DLL on your hard drive. You can get it there. My real concern here is Adobe has built in Flash updating into all the recent version of Flash because there's so many bugs and exploits and security holes in Flash. If you've got a specific DLL on there, the auto update will stop working. So it is now on you to make sure that you check and periodically download the new DLL onto your portable
drive. And if the thing about safety, I mean, if you're only going to a couple sites that you're not concerned about, like let's say you're going to Hulu.com or you're going to twit.tv, these kinds of sites.
You're probably safe. But I got to point out, you're now using somebody else's computer.
Yes.
And you could potentially infect their computer by using the Flash on your thumb drive if you don't keep your Flash up to date. So do please make sure you have the latest version of that DLL on there at all times.
That is a great point. So we're going to go into the key. So we're going to go to Portable Apps.
I wish Adobe would do a portable version.
Let's see, can
that
make
would
that bigger?
Solve this problem.
I don't know, Colin, could you zoom into this side?
There you go.
All right. So we're going to go into Google Chrome Portable, And then we're going to go into app. And then we're going to, let's see, we're going to go to, what's the next one? Chrome bin.
This is all going to be on the site.
It's going to be on the site. The instructions will definitely be on the site. Okay. So if you're not following along.
And this is where we're going to put that DLL?
Right. So you're going to create a folder called plugins. I've already done that. Right
it won't
here.
Be there.
No. You're going to right click. You're going to hit new folder, and you'll write plugins.
Plugins, all one word, P-L-U-G-I-N-S.
Right. Then you'll take your DLL that you've downloaded, and then you'll just drag and drop
just
it.
Just that one file.
Just that one file.
That's all it needs. And you've already got it there. That's why it's saying that.
Now, that means when I open this...
You're actually going to get Flash?
Let's
go to Hulu. Cross your fingers.
Cross your fingers. Pray to whatever you believe in.
There is no such place as Hulu.com. Oh, there it is. Nope.
Hang on.
What happened?
It didn't look like the typing went through. There we go. Let's try that again.
Let's have it
this
again.
Keyboard, this laptop I'm trying, I'll be reviewing it on Before You Buy. So.
Not a fan I'm taking.
No, sir. I'm sorry. This if you're wondering why I'm in a rotten mood, it's this laptop. It's a laptop. But that's Before You Buy. If you watch that, twit.tv, what is it, BYB? You host that show, don't you?
I believe we've done that show, and you're going to be doing it next Thursday? Or
yes,
Tuesday, rather.
You'll see my review of the IdeaPad U410.
You know what I'm reviewing next week I'm excited about is the Asus ZenBook, their latest Ultrabook.
Those are really slick,
sweet.
Really well built.
Sweet!
I'm like this one. All right, it's supposed to be loading. I'm waiting for this to show up. Come on. Mm-hmm. Well, but time and patience.
Time and patience.
So, Leo, what'd you have for breakfast?
You know, I had a lovely bacon and eggs for breakfast. And then Dr. Mom sent us an entire box of Spanish delights. And so I'll be eating chorizo for the next 8 days for breakfast.
Well, let's give it another try.
You want to see my giant chorizo?
I don't know if that's appropriate for all audiences, Leo.
Okay, I'll show you later.
Thanks. Let's try this
so
again.
There's something wrong, obviously.
Nah, it's just I think it's because I was trying to run two different versions of it at once.
And we're that would probably break it.
Let's go. Actually, let's go to Twit.
Oh, hey, Flash. That's Flash.
By the way, I apologize. It's actually showing my own screen right now.
For having Flash.
Here we go. Now we have Inception.
It's Inception.
So here we go. So now I do have Flash working. By the way, let's see if... actually, how far could that possibly go?
But, it could go a long way.
I can see myself again.
I've done it before.
This is great.
Oh, dear.
There we go.
I'm going to be hiking up my pants for eternity.
So as you can see, if you're watching the video, in the Inception video there, Flash is working. And the fun thing is Flash is not installed on this machine. Okay,
that's the DLL that you.
Yeah, if you're running on, if you're running Internet Explorer or a local version of Chrome, it won't have Flash. You had to make that yourself, and it's always on this disk.
If you could get away with not using Flash, I would, because that really is a potential security flaw.
So I'm going to close out of Chrome there, and that is a good example of how to set up Chrome. Did it take a little bit of trouble? I mean, that you saw that it might crash, and you're like, why not that DLL right?
Here's the good news: once you got it working, it's working.
Oh, yeah. Once it's set. Obviously, I would not suggest having multiple keys plugged in or an installer running while you're trying to do this. But
that's the problem is that you've got all this
I was trying to do an installer at the same time. It's not a good idea.
He's got a key on that side, a key on this side.
Yeah, I've got to boot into Linux now.
You have three USB keys plugged into this machine.
Yes, I do.
You know that, right?
I'm aware. Okay. This has my Linux apps on it.
Okay. This is not recommended to try at home.
So we should thank a sponsor, I think.
Oh, it'd be a good time to talk about Audible.com while you work.
Yeah, while I restart this.
Yeah, do you ever listen to audiobooks? Are you that kind of guy?
I do. I love audiobooks because usually when I'm cleaning around the house, I'd like to get smarter while I'm wandering around trying to pick up laundry.
Personally, I just want to be put out of my misery. And the less I think about cleaning up the house, the more I think about something cool like Stephen King's The Stand, the happier I'm going to be. In fact, this is the one thing about audiobooks. I guess it's true of any great book. Stephen King's The Stand was, I think, 48 hours. It was a really long audiobook. And I was sad when it ended. It was so good. And I've been looking for another audiobook. I want you to join me in the quest. Audible.com, that's the place to go. 100,000 audiobooks, lots of science fiction. In fact, their Audible Frontiers program has Audible recording science fiction books that were never recorded before. Great books like Childhood's End and all the robot series from Isaac Asimov. The Heinlein books that go back into the 50s. Never before in audio. Now on Audible.com you can listen. It's a great way to get yourself or a loved one into science fiction. I gotta say, Audible is great for kids too. They have little kids books, they have young adult books, and you. Some people might say, well, I want my kids to read. It is a great way to get kids reading. I've seen studies that say when kids listen to books, it excites them about books. It's easier for them than turning the pages. And then they start getting into books and they start actually reading. This is what's so great about Audible. I want you to go to Audible.com podcast.com right now, /knowhow, because I'm going to set you up with a free book. It's the best way to find out if you like Audible. Audiblepodcast.com/knowhow. You'll be signing up for the Gold account. That's a subscription account, a book a month. That's about right. And the first month's free. The first credit for a book is free. You can cancel anytime, pay nothing, but the book is yours to keep forever. That's another great thing about Audible. Try the Audible app as long as you're doing it. It's free on iPhone, Android phones, or Windows phone. Yeah, BlackBerry, too. It's a great way to see your whole library, download a book, listen to a book. They even have badges and rewards for the number of hours you've listened to and everything like that. I think it's just the best way to listen to great literature. People sometimes laugh at me when I say, yeah, I read that book. They say, you didn't read it, you listened to it. No, I read it. Every word was there, and it really comes to life. Give it a try. Audiblepodcast.com/knowhow. And by the way, we're really thrilled to have Audible supporting the Know How Show. So thank you, Audible.
You can get smarter every which way. You watch the show, you get something from Audible.
You know what I use it? It's at the gym. There's nothing more boring than a treadmill or a Stairmaster.
Just to distract you.
So I don't have to think about it. But the funny thing is, it's over before you know it, and then you want to keep going because, wait a minute, I haven't finished the chapter.
So when you drive around the block a little bit longer,
I do that all the time.
I want to hear the chapter.
I did with the stand. I was really late for an appointment because it was like the last 5 minutes of the book, and I had to hear it.
I want to give a quick reminder, by the way, if you're trying to follow along on the show and you're like, okay, you're going too fast. I don't know. Where's the directory? What's going on? We'll have show notes at twit.tv/KH. I write them. There are instructions. It's available for you. And it's available for me, too, because when I forget how to do stuff, it's there.
That's what we want. We want this to become a repository of knowledge.
Yeah, so if you're seeing the soldering episode, you can see the materials list. Yep. You'll see what's in the kits, safety information. Everything is there. It's pretty filled out. And again, if you want to watch the video, obviously available right there, on demand, whenever you want. So if you're like, you're talking too fast, slow me down. Rewind me. Or just skips a step.
We also put them on YouTube, so if you want to share them with family, friends, some dumb relative, you can send them the link to the YouTube video, and they'll have the whole thing there.
Right,
it's easier
there
for them to watch.
So let's try it out on OS X. Let's get some portable applications.
So we can do this on the Mac?
We can do this on Mac.
Now, we don't go to portableapps.com this time.
No, portableapps.com was
Windows
only.
Okay.
Unless your Linux machine has Wine, which is a whole other thing.
Don't start. Don't get
me
started.
I'm not going to get into that.
Okay.
But we'll go to OS X right now.
Okay.
OS X, like I said before, had inherently more portable applications because they used to be bundles, right?
Right.
That's when a .app is. If you go into your settings and you change your view and look at extensions, you'll see that the apps are .app. Inside is a bundle.
Right.
So a lot of applications can be just dragged and dropped to a key. You can try it out. It might not work.
So you may not need this installer
you may not.
Or anything. You can just try putting it on a key.
If you want to do that kind of test, you can. I suggest if you want to make sure it works, you go to freesmug.org/portable apps.
I should be writing this down. Freesmug. S-M-U-G?
Yes, because it's free open source software Mac user group.
Ah.
So Freesmug. That's what it is. Freesmug.org/portable apps. And they have a list of all kinds of applications to get. And we're going to go get Chromium. Why not? Chromium is an offshoot of the Chrome project. So if you ever tried Chrome, you'll be very familiar with Chromium. And then we'll also get VLC because I like VLC. I'm a big fan of that video player.
These are all free and open source programs, which I think they kind of lend themselves to be portable because people can edit them, recompile them, make them portable without having to, go to the developer to do that.
Now, the process is very, very simple. You download one of the DMGs, and then you open them. That's it. So here it is. I'll open a portable Chromium OS X.
That's it. That folder has everything you need.
I have to take this folder, and I drag it over to my portable key. Oh. Where's my portable key?
Well, it's in there somewhere.
Nope. I don't have my portable key. So let's actually plug in my portable key.
Well, that would help.
There's your problem.
That would help.
Just need to go ahead.
All right. So the DMG file opens a disk image. Inside the disk image, the folder you need, everything's in that folder. Do we have to worry about flash with Chromium, or do we have to do the same flash hack?
In my experience so far, you don't have to do anything extra to get Chromium with flash. I mean, there is an extra step if you're on Lion or higher. I'm going to explain that as well. So right now I'm copying the file over. OS X is Chromium is moving over. Let's see. Let's also get VLC over to this key.
Okay. So there's another folder. You drag it down.
To untitled. That's what this this key is. I don't know what happened to my other key, but who cares? I'm making one on the fly, so let's
try
it anyway.
Time and patience. How long that's going to take to copy.
It looks like it's taking a bit. I mean, it's about 250 megabytes moving across the way. But you should know something. If you have Lion or higher, there is an issue with these portable applications. Now, what you have to do is go back to the site where you downloaded the actual file, freesmug.org, and you'll see right underneath, it says old release, it'll say portable apps lion patch. Let's see if I can get that big. You see that right there? And what you're going to do, it's going to take care of an incompatibility issue.
How about Mountain Lion? Do we have another patch for that?
Or this works for both? Yeah, it works on Lion and Hire because I tried it out on my Mountain Lion machine.
Oh, good.
And it works fine.
Okay.
So it's copying the files. That'll take time and patience. Should we check out the Linux world while we're at it?
But let me just ask one question.
Yeah.
So basically I'm doing the same thing. I'm copying these portable versions of the apps to that USB key. Is there a menu? Is that what I get?
No. What you're going to get is pretty much what you'll see in any DMG.
I'm just going to get a folder.
Yeah, you'll open this up.
And inside there will be apps, and I'll just launch them.
That's too fancy.
You could
make
shortcuts or aliases to the apps at the top level. That might make it easier to run.
You'll see, because this actually is a Linux distro in there, you'll see the two folders right there that are being built now.
So create an alias on the desk, on the folder at the highest level so you can just double-click that.
You can change the icon, make it look pretty or whatever. I mean, that's really simple. The Linux world...
Don't drag apps out of that folder.
No.
Because that'll break everything.
Okay. I wouldn't suggest not doing that.
Okay.
Linux world's a little different. Very, very different. Because, I mean, Linux is pretty much... if you don't have root access on a Linux machine, what do you do?
Well, that's the whole point of putting Linux on there, so you have root access.
But the thing is, I know some people that are working on Linux machines, and they can't put Chromium or Chrome on it. And so that's
a
problem.
So what do they do?
So now we're going to try to put some other applications. So as you saw on this laptop, we're going to bring in a camera because... I can't get the HDMI out to work on this while I'm using Puppy Linux right now. I already have a key.
So we're in Linux right now. Mm-hmm. We're running Puppy Linux on this Lenovo.
I'll show you some applications that are here, and I'll explain where I got them.
You stuck in a USB key. Yeah. It recognized it, mounted it, opened it up.
All right. So which key?
Do we have to? Is it like OS X where most apps work portably, or is this something a little different?
No, this is very, very different when it comes to that. So the applications that are available to run... sometimes they require extra amount of permissions, and at that point, again, you're stuck. However, I was able to find a bunch of portable apps. There'll be a link in the show notes. Like, here's Chromium. We're going to try to launch it.
My suggestion, if this is something you want to do, is to not just make a portable key, but to make a bootable Linux operating system with all the apps you want already installed on that USB key. Then this is almost even better. You go to the new computer that you want to use, you reboot it, you stick in the key, you boot to the key, and you're not even using the operating system on that old computer, you're using your own OS.
Now, one of the things that I found with the Linux portable apps is that they're not persistent. So the changes I made, I don't know, when I opened up Chrome there,
it gets saved to the desktop.
It just showed, hey, look, do you want to try Yahoo, Google?
Each time.
So this is not persistent. That takes some other work. So let's see. There's other applications. Let's try Wireshark. Now, again, if you want to do troubleshooting,
this
you can
do
that.
This is a great protocol, network protocol.
And it works fine.
You can look at Ethernet traffic.
So we got that running. But not everything works. Like there's Boxy. I can click it all day. Nothing will happen. Let's see. XBMC? Nothing.
Truthfully, the best way to do this is to make a bootable Linux drive on your USB key with all of those installed, and then everything will run just fine.
Or XChat. XChat works fine. Now,
That's because Linux, I guess, is wanting to see stuff on the hard drive. It's kind of like the Windows problem where stuff is spewed all over. These are not portable apps.
When I was doing the search for portable Linux apps, one of the top results that showed up was a great-looking site. But the problem was none of the links worked. So I had to do a lot of digging to find out that you should go to SourceForge directly and go to sourceforge.net/projects/portable. That's again sourceforge.net/projects/portable. And then you'll click files over here and you'll see a whole list. Now, they're not alphabetized. I just recommend quickly searching for when you're looking for Chromium or XBMC or whatever else. But there's a ton of programs. If you can see the list on my laptop right now, you can see this like Sheet Cam, or you can get Dropbox on here, Blender, Updaters, all kinds of things on this.
I would guess that this is a list maintained by somebody of either portable apps or these are specific versions that are made portable and put in this directory here.
Now, one of the big problems in all my testing with this was trying to find a way to have a portable version of Chrome with Flash that went on Linux without having to have my own bootable entire distro of Linux.
Right. Can't be done.
Couldn't figure it out. Okay? Now, this I'm throwing to the audience at this point. If you guys know how to actually have a portable version of Chrome with Flash already installed on a Linux machine, right? So the Linux doesn't have Flash. There's nothing on there. Let us know. Give us an email at knowhow@twit.tv or set up a video. Make a video of you doing it. Put it on YouTube or your favorite video site and send us the link, and then we'll be able to see how you did it. Because I asked our IT guy. He's like, well, I think if we rewrite this and if we retry to recompile it, maybe.
That's crazy.
But there's no...
Make a bootable key. That's my solution.
But then you're locked out of your works computer's applications.
Right.
Which could be a problem because if you're using a specialized piece of software,
that's true.
That was the issue there.
But is your work computer a Linux computer? How many people have a Linux computer at work?
It was the rare request that I got. And I'm like, great, I can't solve that one.
I actually really like the idea of, as long as you're using a PC, putting a PC-compatible Linux distro on a USB key or a DVD or CD, booting to that, using that, you're more secure. Even if that Windows machine has a virus on it, even if it's broken, you're using your operating system, your apps, and I love it on a DVD because you can't even modify it. The bad guys can't even modify it, but it'd be best on a USB key. And then you've got your own clean operating system, and you're using it all the time.
I used to do this around college a lot because I always want my applications with me. And it's
okay,
you don't have VLC? Because they didn't have the codecs, right? That was the big thing. Okay, well, I can play anything. It's not a big deal. We have VLC. It was great.
So you had a media USB key that's ready to play.
That was the weird thing. I was thinking about this. I've done this project before for fun, and I'm like, why did I do that? Because I wanted to watch videos. I think that's everything.
Yeah, they're saying NASA workers use Linux. You know what? If you're a rocket scientist, you've probably figured this out all by yourself. You didn't need us.
Or you're bringing in another computer with you. Or you're just watching it on your phone, probably, at that point. You're like, okay,
forget that. Let me go down the checklist. Here's what we need to make portable apps, a PC or a Mac or a Linux box. That's going to be for creating our USB key. We think you should have a fast USB 3 key greater than a gigabyte. You can get them pretty cheaply for well under $100 in 32 and 64 gigabytes. That's plenty of space. You want to make sure you have internet access because you're going to be downloading these apps from special sites. We'll tell you those sites in a second. And, of course, time and patience. A couple of choices here. If you're on Macintosh, freesmug.org. If you're on Windows, portableapps.com. If you're on Linux, sf.net/projects/portable. Those are sources for portable apps. And don't forget our show notes, twit.tv/KH. Did I get that all in there, IS?
Everything is there. And everything's at the site. Again, twit.tv/KH. All the show notes are there. I'll be writing them up, I think, during the production meeting coming up soon.
This is a great project to do and have that as you carry it around, as you go from place to place. Really, really handy.
Yeah, so by the way, guys, coming up soon, I don't know when, maybe in the next couple of weeks, we are going to do some projects that were suggested by you guys. You guys send us in lots of emails. We're reading them, and we're taking these project ideas, and we're going to be doing some of them. One of them you guys are asking, clamoring for, VPN.
I would love to do that.
It's going to happen pretty soon. I'm not sure if it's next week.
I have a way to do this. It's a little device that I carry around with
you. We'll talk about that, too.
I'll show you how you do that.
But, yeah, and there will also be one episode where we're doing a whole bunch of follow-ups, a bunch of viewer requests. So keep writing in to knowhow@twit.tv. I know we're not reading them right now on the air, but trust me, we are reading them. So email us at knowhow@twit.tv or leave us a voicemail. If you're like, all you had to do was this, just send us
a still look for that. How do you put Chrome on Linux?
This is
and
the
Flash and have that work
without
easily.
Admin privileges or without
how
your
do you
IT
do it?
Guy.
It's, wow, was it running off that USB?
408-800-KNOW. And if you're gonna, take on that challenge, make a video if you want. Write instructions if you want. Just let us know. It'll be great to see what you guys come up with because I can do it. Sorry, I admit defeat
he
to
tried.
You.
He
machine.
Tried, but he could not do it. Hey, well, that's great. Now now that we know how to create portable apps on a USB key,
go do it.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on Know How.